for her choice of songs that she was playing. And I hope as she was playing that song, I don't remember the title of it, but all ye who hear, now his temple draw near. It's good to see each of you here and pray that you have come, recognizing that you're coming into the house of the Lord. We'll remain seated and sing hymn number 504. As an introit in Christ, there is no east or west. Chosen a couple of scriptures for the call to worship. The first is from Deuteronomy 7. We don't always go to Deuteronomy very often, but we've been there twice so far today. 7, verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. And from the book of John, 15th chapter, verses 9 and 10. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. We will stand and sing hymn number 517, One Day When Fell the Spirit's Whisper. Thank you. Father, we bow before you in the name of your Son, Jesus. Father, with rejoicing and praise in our hearts for the very fact that all we have to do is keep your commandments, and worlds without end are before us in the life hereafter. Blessings and awarenesses and understanding, Father, that we can't even begin to comprehend in our human form. Father, we welcome your Spirit. Better said, Father, we pray you will allow us to sense your Spirit as it is everywhere and always with us. So, Father, I correct myself. Bless us, Father, that we can sense your Spirit, that we can feel your Spirit, that we can respond to that Spirit that just simply asks us to do what you say and to love one another. Because that love for each other, Father, is the ultimate symbol to the world that we are your children. And Father, we come together to worship you, but also, Father, to sing these songs together. And to lift our voices to you in praise because of how great you are. And we come together, Father, to hear the spoken word, to have it shared with us in perhaps a way that we've never heard it shared before. And so, Father, we ask a special blessing upon our brother John as he stands to share those words of life. We pray, O Lord, that the fears of the world, the concerns of the world would not only leave us as your children, but there would be an assurance rest upon John that your Spirit can and will and does speak through him when he opens his mouth to speak, as you have promised to always fill it, if your disciples would do that. And so, Father, I pray that we would have an attentive ear, that we would have a softened heart and an open attitude towards that which you will bring this day through your servant. Pray a similar, Father, response from Bob, who will bring our closing prayer, and from Roger, who will bring our offertory statement and prayer. Each one and each part, Father, is a necessary function within our day of worship together. And we do these things, Father, seeking to honor and glorify thy name. And so may all this be done in the name of your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. I've been listening today, and I would have you listen once again. Keep my commandments, says the Lord, and love each other with all your heart, might, and mind. As we pass the baskets today, please remember your stewardship towards each other, as well as the church, which we are. Would the deacons come forward, please? Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, as we go through this ordinance, we would ask for thy blessing upon each one, whether they give a little or a lot. We know that there are needs among us. Help us all to be aware of what each other has needs for, that we can raise each other up towards thee. We would ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Thank you, Brenda. So beautiful. I'd like to use this morning for my scripture reading and taken from the fourth book of Nephi. And I'd like to share these words, and we'll ask the Lord that he would stir our hearts and he would bless them. And they did walk, and they did not walk any more after the performance and the ordinances of the law of Moses. But they did walk after the commandments which they had received from the Lord their God, continuing in fasting and prayer, and in meeting together oft,
both to pray and to hear the word of the Lord. And it came to pass that there was no contentions in the land because of the love of God which did dwell in the hearts of the people. And surely there could not be a happier people among all the people which had been created by the hand of God. And we ask his blessings to be upon those words. Thank you. It's certainly good to greet each of you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ this morning and to come into the fellowship and into the experience of worship. And I trust that as we do these things this morning, that our hearts will be lifted and that we would sense the graciousness of the Spirit of the living Christ in each of our lives. And I'd like to share with you in these thoughts this morning, as I read scripture, that the Lord looks upon this planet, upon this earth, desiring for a people that there would be no contention, that there would be no disagreement, but we would be united in oneness. And Jesus is saying that he is the one that we are called to be united with, and it's by his Spirit that we will be liberated from all the things that seem to be in the world around us. I'm always intrigued by the parable of the 10 virgins. And my intrigue is this, that, you know, there's five that are very wise. lives. And they carry their oil with them. And then there are the five which the scriptures say are foolish. They're unwise. And as I asked this, and I thought, my mind goes in many different directions, but as I thought about this parable, I wanted to ask, how many have brought your oil with you today? And if you didn't, I want to talk to you about the fact that how concerned are we about the five foolish? You see, God, in his infinite wisdom, sent his son, Jesus, into the world that all people would come to know him. And apparently those foolish somehow lost their identity with the Lord Jesus Christ, in a sense that they weren't prepared. They wandered. And because of that, they were unable to be involved in the great wedding feast. You see that the Lord says, I am the bride, I'm the groom, and I look for a bride that's going to be of one heart and one mind. I want a pure people, a pure bride, a bride that's going to love me, but to be submissive to the things that I call them to do. And you see, in this relationship, Jesus Christ has set the standard of love. We know that it's because of his love that he has done everything for us. He came to this earth because he's the Son of God. And he did all these marvelous things in setting up an example. He taught us. He taught us how to have a relationship with other people. He taught us in the way he orchestrated his life that he put down the temptations that were around him. And we know that Satan brought many temptations. And yet, Jesus made a decision. He made a choice. And he said, this is not for me. This is not the will of my Father that I have. And so, all through the walk of life, he demonstrated the fact that he wanted to do the will of the Father. Even to the day that he had the Last Supper with his disciples, he showed them that the service of all. And it tells us in the upper room that he put a cloth over his shoulder or his arm, and he got a pail of water, and he washed their feet. All the things that we recall in Scripture, as we read Scripture, that Jesus did all these things, exemplifying the love of God that God has for us. And oftentimes that we as a people get involved. And somehow that's our nature. Because the scriptures tell us that when Jesus created us, he created us spiritually. And we know from scripture, if we look in chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4, that all through this time that that Christ, he did several things. One is he created us, but then he began to show us. He showed us the animals. He showed us the things that man could be involved in. He also pointed out the tree of life. And he said that that was not to be partaken of. And then we know that because of the fall of Adam and Eve, because they partook, and now they began to know good from evil. And because they began to know good from evil, it set up a conflict within their lives. But as we look at Jesus, Jesus said, I don't want my people to have this conflict. He says, I want them to be a happy people. I want them to be a wholesome people. I want them to be a loving people. And so Jesus said, I will go to my people. And he's talking about humanity. He's talking about not only the ones that have their lamps filled with oil, but he's talking about the other five. And he's saying that I love these people. And he said, I will go on the cross and I will take their sins upon myself that they may have life. And so the love of Christ has given to all of us that gift. And if we receive that gift, then we come to know that the kingdom, and we heard this in Sunday school this morning, well, what is the kingdom? The kingdom is Jesus Christ. There's a lot of things go around and in the kingdom. But if we focus our attention upon Jesus Christ, we see the love that he has for each of us. And this morning, I'd like to share or to ask us that if we would take a look at the time we were baptized. What brought us to that choice? What brought us to that decision? It may have been parents. It may be an outside source for those that have been converted, what we call to the church. But it was because of the love of Jesus. And the scriptures tell us that we go through a process of knowing Jesus. He talked to Peter and he said, Peter, when you're converted. And so sometimes in our lives, depending upon where we're at and the circumstances, that sometimes when we had hands laid upon our head, we were given the gift of the Holy Ghost. And it says that we were given it with fire. In other words, a burning that takes place within the resident of our soul. And it's out of that gift that Christ calls us to him. And as we come unto him, it becomes really kind of, in a simple way, it's basically a choice. You see, Christ gave us agency, or God gave us, and as we were created, he gave us agency, and through agency we have choice. And so, in our walk with him, who do we choose? Do we choose Jesus Christ as the one that is our groom, one that loves us, one that was willing to go on the cross and redeem us from the fall. You know, in his love, he says, even when you come to the judgment seat, and we know that we're all told that someday we're going to stand in judgment, but Jesus has said, I'll stand with you. And he says, I'll be your advocate. I'll be your I'll be the one that those things that you've repented of, I'll take them along myself so you can be free. So you can have the liberty that you can be able to stand in his presence and in the presence of God in purity and sit in that fellowship which we call the celestial glory. Christ has given everything to us, and all he says you have to do is choose. Now, we know that there's opposition in all things, and we know about Satan, and we know all of these types of things, and sometimes we allow our sense of thinking to get wrapped up in all these extra things that sometimes bring conflict and confusion. Sometimes we ask questions because we don't understand. But the mystery of life is in Jesus Christ. And Jesus, because he's given us everything, all he asks, will we come unto him? Will we submit ourselves? Will we give ourselves to him? And he's saying that as we do these things, that we will have joy, we'll have peace, and we'll have an inner love. Not only for ourselves, but for each other. And he says, because of this, that there will be that time that there'll be no contentions. And there'll be no difficulties. But the people will be a happy people. And he calls these people Zion. This is what Enoch shared with the people of his time. Come unto Christ and be holy. Take upon his name and rejoice in it. This morning, as I share this, I look at scripture and I look at this word of probation. And it says that, you know, we live in a probationary period of time. And that time's going to end. And we're all going to die. But Christ has said out of his love that you're going to be resurrected. And out of that resurrection, your body and your soul and your spirit's going to come back together. You'll be whole. And these things we call eternal life. But sometimes we don't talk about eternal life because we're afraid. We're afraid that we've done something so horrible that God is going to refuse us. And because of this, that we go through life basically miserable. And yet, the whole key is the fact that Jesus so loved us, and in the book of scriptures it says he first loved us that we might love him. And he's given that to each of us. I'd like to share a testimony because each of us are different. And while I share my testimony, I'd love for you to think within your life. and ask, when did Christ make his appearance into your life? What particular thing that took place within your life that made a change and put you on that path of what we call going on the upward trail? I'm reminded I had been ordained a priest. I was single. I was living in Cleveland, Ohio. And my best man he called me on the phone and he said, there's Rob and Kim. And he said, they've got a 3-year-old that has leukemia. And this 3-year-old is being treated in the Cleveland Clinic. He said, would you have time to go see this child and this family? He said, they need support. I was green as green could be. But I knew that because of all the things I had been taught, that it was my responsibility to try to offer some type of ministry. And so I got acquainted with this family. And every other day I would drive to the Cleveland Clinic and I would go up and see this little boy. And I'd see his mom, his dad. And each time that the boy sometimes would ask me, he would say, would you get me a McDonald burger? He didn't say a happy meal. He said, but not just a hamburger. And so I would take him a hamburger. And other times he would ask me for something else. And I would take it And just a little joy and that he had on his face. And I would sit and I would see the worry and the stress upon mom and dad. And so I felt it was important that we have prayer together. And then one day when I went to the Cleveland Clinic and I was sitting in the room, their son had some tubes in him for breathing and so forth. And while we sat there and watched him struggle for air, he finally stopped struggling and he died. I was a young priest. But I remember that we were asked to leave the room while the nurses came in and did whatever. And so we went in and I tried to share them the best I knew how about that infants, that the Lord took them home and they were sin free. And then we had prayer. I share that, but I want you to think about the experience that you had in your life that brought a significant difference where you found the power of Jesus Christ and you felt that love even in your weakness. And to know that something was taking place within your life that was different. And it's because of all these different exchanges that we have as we grow through life that have helped us to become what we are. And for some, they have such a relationship that they have that oil. And they have that lamp. But then there are others that have had doubt, perhaps fear, perhaps just because of the things of the world, is worn them down. And I'm not talking about people in this congregation. I'm talking about the world. And somehow they've turned their back on Jesus. I'd like to refer to you about Abinadi and about what we call Wicked King Noah. Wicked King Noah was pretty bad. And if you read in chapters 7 and 8 in the book of Mosiah, you find that he was ruthless. He even taxed the people so much so that they could have golden chairs to sit on. He could build a tower. He could do all these marvelous things. But you see, God loved him. Even though he was a tyrant, even though he was bad as a bad, rough as a rough, but God loved him so much, he sent him Abinadi. And Abinadi was pretty rough on Wicked King Noah. He told him that he was living wrong, and he better get his act together. And if you read in the book of, in chapter 8, that he was pretty strong in his speech. But he said, I was sent here from God to bring you these words. And we know the priest that sat with the wicked king, that they too were in luxurious living. They weren't following the scriptures. They weren't following the way Christ had taught them or he wanted them to be. And so there, out of this group of priests, there was one, Elma. And Elma heard these words that Abinadi spoke. And they resonated within his heart. You see, when we were created in Scripture, it tells that we were created spiritually. And if we were created spiritually, and we refer to many that made choices in heaven, and I'm under the belief that we made choices with our Lord and Savior way when we were even created spiritually. And we chose to come to this earth. And we talk about probation. It's interesting, and I may have mentioned this, but we talk about probation, that we're on a probationary period. If we look at the term probation, we know that a judge that has set someone that has been, I don't want to say a criminal, but someone that's broken the law, that he sets him up in probation, and what he's really saying, I want to keep an eye on you. I want to keep an eye on you so you walk in the right pathway. You walk in the right track. Because you see, that Christ, as he calls us and he puts us on this pathway, he's not doing it because he's punishing us. He's doing it because he wants us to come unto him. He wants to be the ultimate within our life. And how that becomes to progress in our life is because of prayer. It's when we're willing to make the choice to get on our knees and to bow our head and to lay out everything that we don't want to be and ask the Lord if he'll take us, he'll accept us. And when we're willing to do that, it's because It's out of our response to Him. But when we do this, we find within our life a new contentment. We see a new horizon, so to speak. And we've all experienced that from one degree to another. And it's out of that experience that we have with one, with Christ, that we are what we are and what we can become. You know, Christ has said that there are many mysteries, but how we solve mysteries is when we go and we ask the Lord to open up those areas of understanding. And sometimes we do this by osmosis. It just comes. But sometimes it's when we get on our knees and we start to have that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's out of that relationship that we have with Him, we're free. We're free to be ourselves. We're free to be able to do those things that Christ has called us to do. He hasn't called us just to come to sit in church on Sunday morning or Wednesday night. He's called us to go out into the world. He's called us to go out and tell those experiences that we've had with Jesus. And as we do that, we find that there's a fellowship that comes within our being. And it's out of that experience that we come to know our Lord Jesus Christ. And we prepare ourselves to be that bride. And we do that in fellowship with one another. We forget about all the differences and we become one. And that's what Christ is calling us to do, to be one with Him. I believe we're going to go through some very rough times, and even though it seems like in our nation and our political sphere that things have kind of eased off a little bit and people aren't quite as uptight as they were several years ago. But God says there's going to be an end time. And there's going to be an end time, and when that end time comes, it's going to be catastrophic. It's going to try every man's soul. They're going to make decisions. They're going to make choices. And some of those choices may not be the best choices according to the Christ. And so we have to be tied close to Him. It has to be togetherness. And I'd like to share with you, if we turn to the book of chapter 11 in the book Mosiah, it talks about this brother, Elma. And if you remember that Elma, when he escaped from wicked King Noah, there were 240 others that went with him. And because God so loved them, He brought within Elma and several others baptism. And He did this by His Spirit. He did this through His angels and so forth. But also, when we turn to chapter 11, that we know that Elma, even though he was had a relationship with the Lord Jesus, that he found himself amongst the Lamanites. And in the monks of the Lamanites, that they began to put conditions upon the followers of Elma. And those conditions were that they couldn't pray. They were watched from above and around, and even if they gave signs of praying, that they could be put to death. And so it tells us that they began to pray from their heart. And it says that in this conflict, that even though that they weren't able to do anything physically outside, they couldn't come together. But because of what was in their heart and their genuine concern and love for the Lord Jesus, that he heard their prayers. And it tells us in there that he heard their prayers, and in hearing their prayers, that he spoke to them. Let me get the right. And when he spoke to them, it says that, and I'm going to start with 67. It says, "Yea, Lord, thy watchmen shall lift up their voice with the voice together." And they, let's see. Sorry, I got chapter 8. Let me go to chapter 11. Starting with 60. "And it came to pass that the voice of the Lord came unto them in their affliction, saying, Lift up your heads and be of good comfort. For I know of the covenant which ye have made unto me. And I will covenant with this people, my people, and deliver them out of bondage. And I will also ease the burdens which they are put upon." And then it goes on to say, "And this will I do, that you may stand as a witness for me hereafter, and that you may know of a surety that I, the Lord God, do visit my people in their afflictions." And then he goes on and instructs, and he says, and now, and I'm a 67 now, it says, "And now it came to pass that Elma and his people that night time gathered their flocks together, and also the grains, and yea, even all the night time they were gathering up their flocks together." And then in 68 it says these words, "And in the morning the Lord caused a deep sleep to come upon the Lamanites, yea, and all their taskmasters were in a profound sleep. And it came to pass that Elma and his people departed into the wilderness." And it goes on to tell that they called the wilderness Elma and so on. But it shows that God's love is so great that even if we were put in handicapped position, and we know today that in China that there are surveillance cameras all over the place that watch the people. The government knows every move. We think that's not possible, but it may be possible in this country too at some point. And are we going to be so sure in our commitment, in our relationship to Jesus Christ, that even when we can't cry aloud unto him for his protection, that he can hear what's in our heart? And he knows of that covenant, and he will respond to that covenant, and he will bless his people. This is why it's so important that we look at Jesus Christ. He has to be the author and the finisher of our life. Let's don't become so involved in the things of the world, and we're told that through Scripture. Come out of Babylon and put your trust in Jesus Christ. And that's a message I believe that the Lord wants us all to adhere to, because he loves us. And as we do that, we too can say our lamps are filled and we have extra oil that we can be prepared for the wedding feast. And so I pray this morning that we would be concerned for those that don't have oil in their lamps, that we would love them enough, that we would share those experiences within our life in relationship to Jesus Christ, that they too would come to know the Savior, their Redeemer, and the one that died on the cross for their life. Thank you.
Gracious Heavenly Father, as we have come into your house this day to worship you in spirit and in truth, Father, we have heard that truth. We recognize the testimony of our brother and recognize the commitment that we each need to make to have our lamps fulfilled, to be those wise virgins. That as we go forth, Father, to share the hope of the gospel, that others will see that your countenance in our faces and have that desire to know of the hope that we have. So we pray for that blessing, Father, that we might have opportunities to continue to share with those that we come in contact with. That truly, Father, we know that your kingdom will come, your Zion will be. Coming of your Savior, your Jesus Christ, is soon. Help us to make that preparation, that spiritual preparation is necessary to have that relationship with him. It'll carry us through. He'll carry us, Father. We know he does that. And so we just thank you, Father, for the message of this hour. We pray that as we go forth, that your Holy Spirit will continue to guide and direct our lives, protect us. Father, we do continue to uphold those on our prayer list that have special needs, need your healing hand in their lives, and just ask that you might bless them this day. And also comfort for those families that lost loved ones. Might you wrap your arms about them that they might recognize, even in these trials, of your great love unto them. So, Father, we thank you in all things. We love you. We desire to serve you all the days of our lives. And we offer this benediction in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.